Okay, we are back once again for another episode of Legal Perspective on Athletics. And with us, as usual, is Justin Sievert, partner at Sievert Worley. Justin, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Mark. It's good to be back on.
Well, last week we started this two-part discussion related to sweepstakes and contests and things that athletic departments tend to try to do to help promote excitement at their games and run all sorts of things in connection to their athletic departments or their actual games and contests. And last week we were talking about sweepstakes, and this week we're moving into another piece to that, which is more along the lines of contests. But what are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, so we've really shifted gears this semester to really the business side of college athletics and some of the legal issues there. And last week we started a kind of a two-part series, I guess, on just athletics promotions and how those are looked at from a legal context. And really for an athletics department, a promotion is really used to kind of alert people to what the department really has to offer. And these have really only increased with how much we're online now and all the avenues to run promotions online. And, you know, as we discussed last week, the issue really is that often these are put together, you know, by really creative marketing professionals or departments where they have an idea and they really put something together that's pretty cool and unique. But the problem sometimes is that they do this without really running it by an attorney before they actually, you know, put the promotion on. And this really can cause the promotion to be characterized as a lottery, which often violates federal and state laws, because these laws are so broadly written and interpreted that, you know, drafting a promotion can really run afoul of the law pretty quickly.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, I think that the issue that you're talking about here is a complex one, because like you said, there's been this shift. There's much more promotion, much more effort being put into trying to create excitement around games and promoting what's happening there. And so, like you said, a lot of creativity and a lot of creative types that put these great plans together. But I think very few of us ever have stopped to think about any legal ramifications. And if on campus you don't have anybody paying attention to this, this is where we might run into some problems, it sounds like. And I think what we're talking about here is, what if we create something that potentially is illegal, like a lottery, for example, like you just said? What would make something that we're trying to do on a college campus related to athletics illegal?
So a lottery, lotteries are generally considered legal unless operated by some sort of, you know, government entity at the state level. And in order for something to be characterized as a lottery, there's three elements that must be present. And the first one is chance, and that's just the process of randomly selecting a winner. Basically, chance would mean that there's really not any skill involved in your promotion. A prize would also be the second element. That would be anything of value awarded to the winner of the promotion. And then consideration would be the third element, and that's the exchange of, you know, something of monetary value or non-monetary value in order to be involved in the promotion. Monetary value could be a purchase of some sort of product or service. Non-monetary value would be just maybe the promotion involves the completion of some type of survey that involves a substantial amount of time or effort to complete that would benefit the department running the promotion in some type of way. So if your promotion is based on chance, it's based on it has a prize, and there's some type of consideration involved, then it's generally going to be considered illegal. Now, we kind of looked at sweepstakes and contests last week, and then sweepstakes last week, and now contests this week. And these are typically legal if drafted properly. As we discussed last week, a sweepstake, which is really a random drawing for a prize, these are usually not classified as a lottery, because that element of consideration usually isn't present. And that would be, you know, there's no, you know, something of value that the entrant has to provide in order to be a part of the sweepstakes. This week, we're talking about contests, and these are really, you know, tests of skill. So these wouldn't qualify as an illegal lottery, because the element of chance is really replaced by ability and effort. So that's really kind of what we're going to get into this week, is contests and how we look at skill and some of those components.
Well, and you mentioned skill, and what comes to my mind is a common activity you see at games is at halftime of a basketball game, people coming down and shooting a free throw or a three-point shot, and they win something if they make one of those shots. But, you know, we've all seen a variety of people participate in those contests, and skill sometimes is not the right word that I would use to describe the people that are participating. But for these types of contests, how do you determine if skill is involved or not?
So looking at the contest we discussed, there really may not be a real opportunity to demonstrate skill, because it's really hard for even a skilled professional in, you know, those sports to do some of those things. It's hard for a quarterback to hit a target that's stationary from 40 yards away. It would be hard for a professional basketball player to hit a half-court shot. So if your contest already has a prize and consideration involved, and then you have a game where more chances involved in skill, then your contest may be illegal. It would be characterized as a lottery. However, if you made the contest something where maybe it's a football toss from 15 yards and it's best out of 10, or you make it a basketball free throw contest with 10 shots, those would allow the skill to be better demonstrated. Or there's another way you could look at it, and that's, you know, if you take away the consideration, you also may be okay. That's why even you often see a half court shot at halftime. You know, those are often okay, because the person that's taking that shot isn't paying anything or giving anything, any sort of real time or effort to complete that contest. So gotcha. That's why those are often, you know, characterized as legal. Another issue you often see with contests is what if you tie in the contest? You know, what if you have that free throw contest and each person makes 8 out of 10 free throws? You know, well, if your tiebreaker is based on, you know, a coin flip, then this could still be characterized as an illegal lottery, because the tiebreaker itself wouldn't be based on skill. So if you have a tiebreaker, make sure that also follows the same rules in how you would look at skill.
Got it. Yeah, all very interesting. So you're thinking about those half-court shots. I mean, some schools I've seen are offering free tuition for a semester, as an example. If you hit this half-court shot, you get free tuition. I mean, that's substantial consideration. But is it that you're saying that because the contestant didn't have to provide anything of value or anything to participate, that type of situation is still okay?
Yeah, so with consideration, we're looking at, you know, the exchange between the parties. You know, if the person who's completing the shot, you know, they're not really providing any consideration, because they're not paying to take the shot, and they're really not devoting any sort of substantial time or effort to take the shot. They're just completing one simple task. Now, if it was a situation where anybody who would be part of the opportunity to take that shot had to pay something of monetary value, you know, then maybe you're running into a trickier situation there.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about, so making a half-court shot is one thing, but what about a scenario where there is some sort of judging going on? We've seen these where at halftime there might be two people performing a dance contest, and someone or a panel or somehow a winner is determined because it's involving some sort of judging of whatever activity they're engaged in. What does that change the scenario at all?
Yeah, so judging skill can be a little bit trickier even than determining what the difference between skill and chance is, because, you know, what are you really basing it on? So when you're looking at contests that involve judging, you know, you really should have official rules that disclose the standards that will be used to judge any of the participants or any of the entries. And they really need to be so clear, because the participant needs to understand exactly what would be required to win the contest. And then, you know, once you have those rules in place, you need to make sure that the judges judge by these rules and that the judge is actually qualified to make the appropriate determination. You know, so the clearer the standards you are, the more likely your contest that involves judging will be considered skill than chance. So if you have an example where maybe, you know, a school at a football game is going to have a contest where the fan who has the best decorated car wins some sort of like prize, like a bookstore gift card. You know, and the rules state that the contest for the best decorated car will be judged on creativity, originality, and maybe like the use of the school's logo. Mm-hmm. The issue there is you have some judging criteria, but it's really not very specific. So you can increase, you know, your likely legal compliance by just creating better rules. So maybe you say the decorations are going to be judged 70% creativity, 30% originality, and then the school's logo must appear on the car either a certain number of times or a certain size or at a certain focal point. This would give you a more defined standards for the participants to meet and for the judges to actually judge by, which would give you a better chance to make your contest legal.
Got it. And again, like last week, just being thorough in your communication and the clarity of what you're getting involved in seems to be a key element here. What else? I mean, there's a lot here. This is all great stuff that we need to be thinking about when we're talking about promotions and contests. But are there some other common issues that you've seen that you think people should keep in mind when they're thinking about promotions and contests specifically?
Yeah, I would check out our podcast last week on sweepstakes, because a lot of the main issues are the same. But I would say the big one to remember is just what you should disclose with your contest. So this really is, you know, the terms and conditions of the contest. Again, a clear description of the game's rules and the specific criteria for winning. You know, any sort of time frame issues with determining the winner, and then just contact information for whoever's running the contest to make sure the participants have that information. Those are the big things. But again, I would just direct people to kind of check out the sweepstakes podcast last week to really see more of what the common issues involved in promotions are.
It was, and people can find that. That's episode 118. And if you just go to athletify.com/118, you will be able to listen to that episode. Well, Justin, there's a lot here and there's a lot for everybody to think about, and we appreciate your expertise. But I know that there may be people still wondering about, well, what we're currently doing or what we're planning to do. Is it going to be legal or not? Are there some suggestions you have for people to follow up where they can go for additional resources or additional information if they have questions about what they're planning to do on their campuses?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing you do is if your institution has an in-house, you know, a general counsel or an in-house legal team, is you touch base with whoever would be the appropriate party at your institution to make that determination. If you either don't have a legal department at your school or your in-house counsel may not be as experienced as you may like desire on these types of issues as they relate to athletics, and it's probably best to look to an outside law firm to really give you some good solid advice on what, you know, federal and state laws would be applicable to what type of, you know, contest or sweepstakes you're trying to run.
Gotcha. That's great advice. Well, we're going to wrap up for this week, but this has been a wealth of information about some topics that most people don't spend time thinking about. So, Justin, I want to thank you again for taking time out and joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mark. It was good to catch up.
Yeah, it is always good to catch up with you and learn about some of these things we should be paying attention to. So we'll wrap up for this week, and we will see you next time on Perspective on Athletics.